kinds of trouble, all right? But here's the deal. I remember Nick was in about fourth or fifth grade. He comes home from school one day, and he says very honestly, very sincerely, "Dad, what's a hypocrite?" I don't know if he remembers this or not, but I certainly do. I thought, that's an awfully odd question. Why does he want to know what a hypocrite is? So I answered to the best of my ability. I said, you know, it's when someone says one thing, but they do another. And then I said, why do you ask? And Nick said, well, there's a kid in my class whose mom says that you're one. Wow. You know, I'm like, what? And I'm thinking, and I know the kid, and I know the mom, and I start thinking, what did I ever do to this lady or in front of this lady that would make her think that I am a hypocrite? Because here's the deal. You know, and that stung a little bit. That bothered me. I mean, I was kind of like, you know, I want to see this lady. We're going to set this straight. But here's the deal. She may have been right. I don't know. Because the deal is, it's a whole lot easier to see hypocrisy in someone else than it is in your own life. Again, this is a subject matter that, you know, we talk about, but I think sometimes even we preachers are guilty about making it almost kind of like a joke. We mistakenly have belittled it by making a joke out of it. There's a saying that when you're talking with a non-believer that says, "I'm not going to go to church because the church is full of hypocrite." You said that, right? And so we preachers, we've got a great comeback for that. And I've said this before. The comeback is, well, there's always room for one more. You know? And that's kind of funny, I think. But then it's kind of at the same time kind of sad that we look so lightly on it and we kind of joke about it a little bit. And there might be even people who are sitting out there today that you've been disappointed by someone in your life that has shown evidence of hypocrisy in their lives. People who go to church and leave their phones on and things like that. I'm teasing. couldn't resist. It's fine. It's fine. Hey, you know what? I've done it while I'm preaching. It goes off sometimes. It's fine. I'm just messing with you. But some of you know this firsthand. You know, you come to church and you're sitting there and you still kind of go through the services, but you're thinking in the back of your mind, you're upset by somebody because of what they've done. You see this hypocrisy in their lives, and it has even caused some people to not even go to church anymore because they know somebody that did one thing and they did something else, and it's become very, very painful for you. They represented one thing, but yet they didn't live their life the way that they said they were living it. Maybe it was a youth minister, maybe it was a minister, maybe it was a worship leader, maybe it was somebody else that's in a position of leadership. Somebody who goes to church or is in a position that maybe people look up to, and then outside the church, they live much differently than what they claim to be, apparently, like I've done in the past, right? People see hypocrisy, and they say, well, you claim this, but you did this, and it devastates them. And here's what happens. Sometimes they walk away from the church. Sometimes they completely walk away from God. Because someone that they looked up to didn't carry out what they said they believed. What would Jesus undo? Jesus would undo hypocrisy. I like what the author and theologian Brennan Manning said, and I got this up on the screen and it's in your notes as well. Here's what he says. He says, the single greatest cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, then walk out the door and deny him with their lifestyle. And here's the kicker, and I agree with this. This is what the unbelieving world finds simply unbelievable. The unbelieving world will not believe what we believe because they see our actions are inconsistent with what we say we believe. And they're saying, I can get that out here. I don't need to go to church for that. That's the way the world operates anyway, right? And Jesus would undo that. And so you say, okay, that's great, but what exactly is, if Jesus wants to undo hypocrisy in our lives, what exactly is hypocrisy? And the first thing I want to do is tell you what it's not, okay? So if you're taking notes, this is what hypocrisy is not. Hypocrisy is not the disparity between what we do and what we wish we did. Okay? Let me repeat that for you. Hypocrisy is not the disparity between what we do and what we wish we did. It's not the difference between how we behave and how we wish we behave. Like, I wish I didn't have that bad thought, but I did. Okay? I wish I didn't say that. How many of you have ever done that? I wish I didn't say that, but I did. And what that is, that's just sin. That's not hypocrisy. There's a difference between sinning and being hypocritical. Here's what hypocrisy is. Hypocrisy is the gap between what we show and who we are. Okay? Hypocrisy is the gap between what we show and who we are. It's the difference between what we say and how we live. It's the difference between our public persona, in other words, what we're putting out there for everybody to see. It's the difference between our public persona and our private character. And Jesus wants to undo that in the lives of Christians. He wants to undo the show that we're putting on when the real life isn't consistent with what we say we believe. In fact, when Jesus would come up against hypocrisy, there was a Greek word that he used, and it's the word hypocritus. You can hear that word hypocrisy in there, right? Hypocritus, Hupokrites. And what the word literally means is an actor or a stage player. It means one who hides behind a mask, okay? In fact, if you've ever seen those masks in drama departments and things like that, you know, that are hanging up there, you've seen these masks before. And these are the masks that they would use in the Greek plays. And they had all kinds of different masks. We always just put those up there because those are probably the two most famous ones that we have seen. But basically, they would act out the part and they would put these masks on as they would act out the part. Now, what I wanted to do, I actually searched for some of these this week and couldn't find them. And what I wanted to do was hold it up in front of me while I was preaching, you know. But then I'm glad it didn't work out that way, because that would be really creepy, don't you think? Can you imagine? I mean, think about that. I've got that. It's like, yeah. But so I'm glad that didn't work out, and little kids would have been all messed up if I'd have done that. But here's the deal, okay? This is what some Christians do. I'm actually one person here, but when I go out in public, when I go out in church, when I'm around church people, I wear this mask. There's one that Craig Rochelle calls the angry mask. This is the one that says, hey, don't drink, don't chew, don't go with girls that do. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? This is the one that says, listen, you can't do these things in your life. If you do these things in your life, oh, you bad sinner person. But then when you get underneath their mask, there's all sorts of things going on in their life that's not right. It's an angry hypocrite. And then there's a happy hypocrite. And this is the one that's kind of like, oh, praise the Lord, brother, hallelujah, so good to see you. You know, it's just wonderful to be in the house of the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glad to see you at church. And they may have fought with their spouse all the way to church. You know? Oh, praise the Lord, we need to build one another up, we need to encourage one another. Can you believe what that woman wore to church today? Oh, praise the Lord, brother. I can't believe she even left the house in that. Can you believe her? You know? And this is what Jesus hated. He hated this idea of you go into the house of the Lord and you're lifting up the name of Jesus and you're praising Him, and then the first chance you get to take a dig at somebody, you do it. And Jesus is saying, that's not right. Don't do it. He hated when from the outside you show one thing, but on the inside there's something very, very different. In fact, Paul had a verse in Titus chapter 1, verse 16. He says, they claim to know God, but by their actions, they actually deny Him. In other words, you're saying, yeah, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I'm a Christian, but you're not backing it up through the way that you live your life. And Jesus goes on to say some things. He said, you know, hypocrisy is this. Anytime you are giving money to the church or to the Lord just to be seen, hey, look at me. I'm gonna throw in a 50. I'm gonna throw in 100 this week. No, look at me, look what I'm doing. That's hypocrisy. Whenever you're praying to be heard, the Pharisees were great at this. You know, they stand on the street corners and they would pray, oh dear God. And they would pray these eloquent prayers, and they would show their spiritual pride trying to impress other people. And Jesus said, that's complete hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy when you fast to be noticed. You know, you fast and you go around and you tell people that you're fasting, and you say things like, well, I'm denying myself physical food because I'm more spiritual. I want to be noticed. Which, by the way, you're never going to notice me fasting, probably. It's not something that I'm going to go around tooting my horn about, because if I'm fasting, I know I'm not going to be very good at it, and I'm not going to say, hey, watch me, because I'm probably going to mess it up, okay? Because I like food. I know that surprises some of you, all right? But fasting is basically saying, look at me for what I'm giving up. It's hypocrisy when you criticize someone for doing something Jesus would speak against, and then you turn around and you do the same thing that you're criticizing someone else for doing. It's hypocrisy. Jesus said, when you take advantage of the poor. There was one time Jesus entered the temple. And remember all these things that were going on in the temple. People were buying and selling, and they had turned the Lord's house into a den of thieves, Jesus said. And Jesus walks into the temple, and he didn't just come in and say, now you boys, I told you not to do that anymore. You need to do a better job of not selling things in the temple like you are. That's not how he said it at all. He came in and he was angry, and he started turning tables over. He said, you hypocrites, you've turned my Father's house into a den of thieves. This is a place where people come to seek my Father in prayer, at least it should be, and this is what you, the religious leaders, are doing? Jesus never spoke more harshly to people than he did to the hypocrites, the hypocrites. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23. If you have your Bibles, we're going to kind of skip around there. I'm not going to have this on the screen today. But Jesus, he says this again and again. He says, woe to you who live your lives like this. Woe to you who are saying one thing, but you're doing another thing. Verse 27, he says, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you play actors. He says, you're like whitewashed tombs. You're beautiful on the outside. You're nice and clean and beautiful on the outside. But on the inside, you're full of all sorts of ungodly stuff. You look great on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead man's bones. Remember last week, we talked about things that were put into two categories, clean and unclean. Well, one thing that was unclean was dead people, dead men's bones. Those are unclean. You can't come into contact with them. And Jesus is saying, listen, you might look clean on the outside, but on the inside, you are very unclean. You put on a show, but you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Now, that's what Jesus says to them. And I think this is great, because this proves to me that not even Jesus liked snakes, okay? Here's what he says. You snakes? You brood of vipers? How will you escape being condemned to hell? So what is a hypocrite? It's the one who looks good on the outside, but on the inside, we're very, very far from God. We want this illusion of public virtue, but we're full of these private vices in our lives. And what's so interesting to me is that Jesus didn't say this. Jesus didn't say, "Woe to you when you say bad words." Did he? He didn't even say, "Woe to you who watch movies you shouldn't be watching on Netflix sometimes." He didn't say, "Woe to you who do bad things." He said, "Woe to you who do these things, but then you go out and you act like you don't." Not woe to you if you're imperfect, because we're all imperfect. He said, "Woe to you who act like you're something different." I would argue that today, perhaps more than ever, social media is the perfect breeding ground for hypocrisy. How many of you might agree with me on that? Okay. This is a place where you can all day long show what you want other people to see in your life, when in reality you're much different than what you're portraying on social media. People will post things like, "Oh, here's my perfect marriage. You know, I love my husband so much. He's a great man of God. You know, I'm so thankful for him. And here we are, all lovey-shovey-dovey. In reality, you're not even sleeping in the same room." Happens all the time. "Here I am doing my devotion. Not only am I in the Word, but I've got my coffee cup too." Because we all know that if you're having coffee with your devotions, it's much more spiritual than an Instagram picture. Thank you, John Crist. I don't know if you've seen John Crist, but look him up. He's hilarious. But it's true. "Here's my coffee. Here's my Bible. Look at me being all spiritual." When in reality, you probably spent more time setting up the picture than you did reading your Bible. "I'm going to show you what I want you to see. Everything is perfect. Everything is awesome." How many of you have seen the Lego movie? Raise your hand if you've seen the Lego movie. Three of us. Four, there's more of us, but you're just afraid to admit it, okay? You need to watch it because it's hilarious. But there's a song in there that's absolutely annoying. Go ahead and hit that, Josh. John, sorry. Is it on there? There you go. You remember this song? Okay, this song just keeps going on. You can kill that now, okay? But that song goes on forever. "Everything is awesome. Everything is awesome." And it's not awesome. Life is not awesome all the time. But for some reason, we try to go through life and we try to prove to people that it is awesome. "Everything is awesome. But I'm miserable. I'm hurting. I have doubts." What would Jesus undo? He would undo this spirit of hypocrisy when what we show is so different than who we are. "Woe to you," Jesus says, "when you do this." And then he says, "How will you escape being condemned to hell?" Ouch. Anybody a little uncomfortable right now? It's me. I'm uncomfortable with it. You know? If you're uncomfortable with it, that's a good thing, because that's showing me that there's a self-awareness that you're willing to be shaped, you're willing to be molded, you're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to maybe work in you. But there might be some of you sitting out there who are going, "Oh, I wish so-and-so were here because they need to hear this." Not that you need to hear it, because it's easy to see hypocrisy in other people, but not ourselves. Maybe you're recognizing some inconsistencies in your life. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. That shows me that you're open to what the Spirit of God wants to show you. And what I want to show you this morning as we start to wrap up is that there's a little bit of hypocrite in all of us, right? But there's hope for us. Verses 25 and 26, Matthew's gospel, he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law, Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence." In other words, you're showing the show, but you don't have the substance. And what he says to the Pharisees is this: "You blind Pharisees, first you need to clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will be clean." What we try to do is we try to clean the outside so everybody thinks we've got it all together, when on the inside we might be rotting away. And what that's saying to us is this: let the Spirit of God do its work internally. Let the Spirit of God deal with the things in your life deep on the inside that need to be dealt with. You work on the inside into conforming to the image of Christ, and allow that Spirit to work in you, and allow God's Word to transform you. And then when the inside is where it needs to be, that cleanliness and that godliness starts to overflow to the outside, and you don't have to put on a show anymore. Because it's who you are. That's what happens when you let God's Word transform you. Jesus has zero tolerance for hypocrisy, but he has amazing grace for the sinner in need of forgiveness. He can't stomach the show. Anybody ever been to a show that you walk away and it's like, "Man, that was awful. That show was terrible." I think that's what Jesus does when he looks at, when he sees our show, what we're trying to do. It's like, "Man, you talk about rotten tomatoes. That's awful." Because here's the deal: Jesus did not come for people who appear to be righteous. That's not who he came for. He didn't say it's not the people who are well who need a doctor, or the people who are acting like they're well who need a doctor. He came for sinners. It's the sick people. He didn't have any tolerance for the show, but he has grace for the sinner. And you might be sitting there, you say, "Okay, Ron, I'll buy into that. There's even a couple things you've said today that maybe is hit me a little harder than I would like for it to." And you say, "Well, what do I do?" And you're sitting there and you're worrying, you're thinking, what if they find out? No? What if people at the church find out what I'm really like? What if they know that I'm not perfect? What if they know that I have faults? What if they know that I'm showing one thing and I'm not really that? I like what Craig Rochelle said: "You have nothing to fear when you have nothing to hide." You might want to write that one down. That's good. You have nothing to fear when you have nothing to hide. This is what Proverbs 28 verse 13 says: "Whoever conceals their sins doesn't prosper." In other words, whoever hides behind the mask, whoever lives their life cleaning up the outside, not dealing with the inside, whoever is living this false life, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. The one who asks for help finds mercy. Here's what I hope you'll understand. Some of you are going to recognize right now, you already have, and maybe the Spirit's already dealt with you, that you've been hiding behind a mask. You've been wearing a mask. Let me tell you something. There have been days I've done that. I've done that here. I've showed up on a Sunday morning, shaking everybody's hand, putting on the preacher face. When inside, I wasn't maybe right in my heart that day. David prayed this in Psalm 139, and I would encourage you to pray it as well, because it's so easy to point out the hypocrisy in others, but difficult to see in ourselves. David said, "Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me at all." What is hypocrisy? It's the gap between what we show and who we are. What do we do with the gap then? Now we know what it is. We know what it's not. We know what it is. How do we deal with it? Here's the answer. We don't close the gap with perfection. We close the gaps with Christ. We don't close the gap with our outward behavior. Oh, if I do enough good things, you're just buying right back into that whole works mentality. You're buying right back into that, oh, look at me kind of thing. You close the gap with Christ. You can't do enough good things. You cannot look good enough to God to close the gap. The only way you can do that is through Jesus. He's our healing. He's our redemption. He's the one who brings forgiveness. And we don't close the gap with our behavior. We close the gap when we allow Jesus to do an inward work in our lives. We're transformed inwardly. And then that starts to overflow, and you don't have to put on a show anymore. It's who you are. It's who you've become because you've allowed Jesus Christ to transform you from the inside out. And then, man, that is so freeing when you don't have to play the game anymore. We're going to offer a song of decision. And as we ask this question again, what would Jesus undo? Listen to me, church. He would absolutely undo hypocrisy. And in our culture today, we are ripe with it. We see it in the workplace. We see it in school. The last place it should be is in our churches. God has called us to a higher standard. He's called us to raise the bar. And there might be some of you here this morning. Today is your breakthrough moment. Maybe the Lord is dealing with you in a way where you need to just drop the mask, stop playing the game, and allow Jesus to work in your life. I'm not sure what was going on here while we were singing. I think it was wonderful that you came forward and you were, Kendall was praying with you. We want you to know that this is always open to be prayed with. If you need to come and be prayed with, we'd love to pray with you. If you're here and I've hit on some things that you need to deal with and you want to publicly come forward and be prayed with about that, maybe it's something you want to deal with between you and God. That's up to you. Maybe it's something you want to see us after the service about. We'd love to talk to you. But it all starts with allowing Jesus to close that gap. And maybe some of you are sitting out there this morning and you've never allowed Jesus to do that. You've never confessed Jesus as the Christ. You've never repented of your sins. You've never been baptized into Him. That's where it all starts. But I'm going to guess that most of you have already done that. In fact, I know most of you have already done that. But I'm going to guess that most of you have been like what I've talked about. You've worn that mask. You've been that hypocritus. And you need to repent of that. You need to drop the mask and say, God, here I am. Do your work in my life. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And if you are here today and if there's any decision that needs to be made today, we encourage you to come as our worship team leads us in this song. Father, I thank you for continuing to work in each of our lives. Help each of us, each day of our lives, to drop the mask and just allow the Holy Spirit to have control in our lives, to do its work in each of our lives, so that we don't have to look all Christian. We don't have to put on a front. It just naturally overflows from us because it's who we are. Lord, we need you, as this song says. We pray in Jesus' name.